Love Talk Radio.
And you have stumbled across The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives you a full balance of sports, that balance that you look for every day. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the sports for you and promise not to leave you hungry. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
It's time to start.
Hey, it's time to start. You are listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. We are live at TGI Fridays in downtown Indianapolis. Glad you could join us. Alongside me, Tom Marquez, the co-host of The Balance. Got a whole bunch of good stuff to talk about today on the show. We will have Paul Keels, the voice of the Ohio State University basketball and football Buckeyes, as we go over on what's been happening over in Columbus, Ohio this past week. Surya Fernandez from HotHotHoops.com. Well, they're going to talk about the Miami Heat. Of course, the NBA Finals Game 2 set for 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to be talking a little bit about the NBA Finals. Shaquille O'Neal has retired. That's good. That's bad. Depends on, I guess, your point of view on that. And a whole bunch of other stuff here on The Balance. I bring in co-host Tom Marquez. And Tom, it's been a big, busy week here for sports here, not only in central Indiana, but across the nation. Indy 500 is wrapped up, and we're going to start focusing a little bit more on NBA Finals and a whole bunch of other things we've got on our plate.
Right, it's going to be an exciting time. We're down here at TGI Fridays, right across from White River State Park, right across the street from Victory Field. You're right, Brian. It's good to be back out here again. I know we've been very busy covering the Indianapolis 500 that just ended with an exciting finish, and we'll certainly get into that a little bit later on in the show. And one of the things that we're certainly going to talk about today is the retiring of the big 7-footer center. Who would have ever thought that would have happened? I mean, Big Daddy, Superman, the Big Cactus.
The Big Aristotle was the big one.
The Big Aristotle.
That was one of my favorites. But
the dynasty has come to an end.
Well, I think that's one of the things that when we look about Shaquille O'Neal, he's going to walk away with some titles. Picked up one, of course, with Orlando, picked up another out in L.A. He's got rings. But he will probably never be associated with a dynasty. He moved around a bit. He went from Orlando to L.A. to Cleveland, and just recently here with Boston, where finally Father Time and a whole bunch of medical issues really finally caught up to Shaquille O'Neal. We're going to talk about later on this in the show, where does he fit when we talk about centers in the NBA, the legacy of centers in the NBA as we get going on The Balance today. I want to bring up our sponsors for The Balance: Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, Trackside Review, the magazine, TracksideReview.com, Midstate Window Cleaning, Microtel Inn and Suites, Bloodhound Underground, and of course, a very, very special thank you to our host here, TGI Fridays at 501 West Washington here in downtown Indianapolis. Want to make sure everybody knows they have a happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m., also from 10 to close, and starting on June 15th, the 80s have made it back. Yes, sir, indeed. Every Tuesday night starting on June 15th, it'll be 80s night here at TGI Fridays. 80s music and 80s movies, 80s trivia beginning at 9. Make sure you come in. Oh, about 7:30 is when they're going to get things kicked off for a very special night, celebrating the 80s, and I'm not going back and reliving my 80s.
I was going to say, you know, I graduated in 1987, and here's the thing. My wife is a little bit younger than me, and we often joke about the shows from the 80s, the A-Team, and she's like, what are you talking about? You know, so, hey, I have a fond memory of the 80s. You know, I don't necessarily want to bring back my 80s wardrobe. That would be a little bit to scare us away. The Michael Jackson parachute pants, the break dancing, you know. But it's going to be a good time here at Friday, so come on out and and reminisce from the 1980s. Well, it's an exciting show that we've got coming up, and I know that here just in a brief period, I know you had a chance to catch up with Paul Keels, with the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and it was an exciting interview and a good interview for us to talk about this whole Jim Tressel. Now, real quickly, and we're going to certainly dive into this more, but just if you could tell our listeners, Brian, because you're an Ohio State graduate, so we'll just give you the honor. What happened out there at Ohio State? Because maybe a lot of people have the news, followed the news, have seen the headlines, but really don't understand what exactly happened with Jim Tressel.
Well, and we will have an interview coming up in our second segment with Paul Keels. Well, he'll get into a little bit of this in a little bit of detail, but as it really comes down to is this thing kind of snowballed, and I mentioned it with Paul. This is one of those times when we really look back and go, yes, things snowballed. It started something small, ended up something that cost Jim Tressel his job, whether it was he resigned or whether he left, whether he was pushed out. That is something we probably will never know. Jim Tressel says that he has resigned his position as head football coach at the Ohio State University. So it's a very complicated setup. It started innocently enough with, or not so innocently, I should really say. You had reports of players selling off memorabilia, selling off things that at the time many people believed that they were justified. They felt it was theirs. And the explanation that Jim Tressel gave was, well, they didn't understand the rule. They didn't understand that, yes, it's your stuff, but you can't give it away. You can't sell it. It's against NCAA regulation. Then it just kind of snowballed from there into a point where more and more came out. What we thought might have been an isolated incident, now it might be turned into more of a, is this a far-reaching thing? They've dug back and said this all goes back. Jim Tressel has had maybe some of this all the way back to Youngstown State with a quarterback named Ray Isaac. Ray Isaac also was involved in some automobile issues back at Youngstown State. And now is this a pattern by a coach, a coach that has said in the past he didn't know what was going on. He pled a little bit of ignorance. And now we've got issues with Youngstown State. We've got former players. Some of them, Maurice Claret and Ray Saul, might be considered a little bit of sour grapes with some of their goings. But we've also heard from Craig Krenzel, Bobby Carpenter, very respected former members, especially of that 2002 championship team. And they've said, you know, I'm disappointed. I'm not shocked. And that's probably the big thing.
Well, we have $2 Bill Josh on the line with us. I know, Josh, you're working your way down here to TGI Fridays downtown. Now, Josh, real quickly here, I know that you're our basketball guru. I want to get your thoughts real quickly here on the retiring of Shaquille O'Neal, and we're certainly going to get into more detail with you a little bit later on in the show. But what do you think about the big man calling it quits, Josh?
Well, I heard Brian say he won 5 NBA championships. He actually only won 4. He won 3 with the LA Lakers and the 4th one with the Miami Heat. Coincidentally enough.
He didn't say that, Josh. You're hearing things again. He did not say that. You're hearing things. But go ahead.
He won 3 with the Lakers and 1 with the Miami Heat. He never won one with Orlando. He did make the NBA Finals with the Magic. I would say he's one of the 2 or 3 greatest centers of all time in the NBA. He's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the best. Well, Chamberlain probably would be a center today. I wasn't alive when he was playing, so I don't know if he was a power forward or a center. He would be 2, and Shaq would be 3.
So you'd have say that again. You're going to have Wilt, Kareem, and then Shaq. Where do you put Bill Russell?
I put Russell right behind Shaquille O'Neal. The NBA was a little bit different than it is now. Bill Russell's dead.
Well, Josh Elmore on the line as we talk about Shaquille O'Neal has announced his retirement after 19 years. Again, as Josh said, 3 titles with the LA Lakers, 1 with the Miami Heat. And while many people will look and say, talk about dynasties, He did win the three with the Lakers, but it's probably going to be more for why he left the Lakers that people are going to remember, and not so much the three titles that he won there.
I would have to agree. People are going to remember that more as he had to leave L.A. because he couldn't get along with Kobe Bryant necessarily than the two of them were a dynasty. If you remember, they tried to win a fourth grade title by adding Gary Payton and Karl Malone, and that blew up bad. I believe they lost in five games to the Detroit Pistons, who, for all intents and purposes, had no right to play for the title that year.
Well, I personally think that Shaq is certainly a great ball player, and I'm going to be one of those devil's advocate guys. I do not believe that he, when you put him in the category, certainly a great basketball player, certainly a Hall of Famer, certainly earned his right. But I wouldn't put him in the same category as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I think he started going downhill when he was drafted number one from Orlando back in 1992. I think he was well on his way at that point in 1992. He was the LeBron James at the time.
I don't think you can really knock what Shaq was. He at the time, and when we talk about great players, we like to sit here and go back. And yes, I'm saying Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The other thing you have to look at, what were you in your era? And at the time, Shaquille O'Neal was the most dominating big man in the center in an era where I don't think you saw a whole bunch of real good center. Just didn't have anybody that could match up with him. His knock, of course, ended up being the free throw shooting. At worst, are we going to come up with a whole defense called Hackers? But it was one of the most dominating centers. I don't think Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, any of the guys had the physical makeup to have with Shaq night in and night out.
Well, now we've got LeBron James. Obviously, in my opinion, he's right better story. Whether or not we agree with whether or not he left Cleveland or not, that's a whole other topic. But he's writing a better story for his era right now. Wouldn't you agree with that, Josh and Amber?
I would agree, but I'm going to take a different approach. LeBron James is a great player. He's not even the best player on his team. Like it or not, Dwayne Wade is a better player than LeBron James will ever be. Wade is a more complete player. Wade can take over a game. Wade has proven he can close games in the playoffs, and as of yet, LeBron hasn't proven any of that.
But we may be seeing that in these playoffs. That may be that the one thing, the very interesting dichotomy about these NBA finals, and we've heard it said all over the place, this is going to validate one player or another. One storyline ends with these NBA playoffs. It is the Dirk Nowitzki. Doesn't have the makeup or the team or what have you to win an NBA title, or LeBron James is able to get over that hump himself. One of these storylines, and I believe you're going to see the LeBron storyline, and he's been coming through here in these playoffs. It doesn't work when you're scoring, in game one, he comes off, he is scoring 24 points, leading the Heat with 24. But I kind of disagree with you, Josh. I think LeBron is a better player than Dwayne Wade, but make mistake, the Miami Heat are Dwayne Wade's team.
I could see that, but if LeBron wants to validate the decision to leave Cleveland, he has to be the MVP for the finals. If Dwayne Wade is, then for the rest of his career, LeBron will be known as Wade's sidekick.
But this will end up being, I don't know if he has to be MVP. To validate the decision, you pretty much have to say, okay, we did this to go to Miami to win a championship. Throughout the season, we're going to have a special guest here on Surya Fernandez that will be interesting to hear how the Miami Heat fans have thought about their way. The regular season press, there were times during regular season that some people had to be scratching their head, especially for to, let's say, the All-Star break and go, what was this all about? Because things weren't going well. As the season progressed, they weren't, didn't finish number one in the Eastern Conference. They barely, at the time, got a past Boston. It was going to be a pretty, people were kind of wondering, okay, was this worth the money? Was this worth the whole hype? A championship to me, okay, yeah, it's worth it. The question is this one or is this, as LeBron said that night, 4, 5, 6, 7?
So, obviously, I think everybody would agree that Miami is well on their way to a national championship. If they can't win a national championship with this team, there's something very, very wrong with that. And I know there's going to be a lot of people asking that very same question. So let's just say that LeBron finally gets his ring and he had to leave Cleveland to make that happen. Is he going to be another Kobe where he's going to get ring after ring after ring, or is this just a one-and-done type deal, Brian?
Oh, I think he's got definitely the tools around him.
Because he's not getting any younger.
But the one thing we don't know, and that this is all iffy, there is a big thing that's going to happen in this offseason with the collective bargaining agreement. And the term hard cap has been thrown out there. Now, you've already got these guys signed, but that doesn't mean that a whole bunch of other, a bunch of your fill-in, your role players might have to change. And when you've got these guys signed to this kind of money, you know, supposedly, in some ways, the owners want this CBA changed to that, so that what happened during this past off season doesn't happen again. On the other hand, and Josh, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think David Stern, he has no problem with what he's seeing with these three because it's driving up ratings. Everybody's tuning in. You either love him, you hate him. It's kind of one of those old deals with the old Pistons or the back with the New York Knicks. It doesn't matter if you loved him or hated him, you tuned into him.
I would agree, but my biggest thing about the CBA and both the NFL, getting ready to be the NBA and soon getting ready to be Major League Baseball, how many boxes of Kleenex do owners go through a day? Essentially what the owners are saying in both sports is, we sign these big contracts, we're not smart enough to stop ourselves from signing them, so we want the players to tell us to stop signing the huge contracts.
That is, and that's probably true. I side with you on that, Josh, as far as, you know, you kind of got to wonder. And I tell you what, we're going to have to take a break here. Josh, I hope you stay around. Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking with Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State University, the football and the basketball team. You are listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Fridays, you are listening to The Balance live at TGI Fridays. I want to remind everybody that our gracious hosts here, they're at 501 West Washington Street in downtown Indianapolis. Join them beginning June 15th for 80s night, happening every Tuesday night here at TGI Fridays. Music, movies, trivia beginning at 9 p.m. Make sure you stop on by. Then they also have happy hour every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 and 10 to close every Monday through Friday. Also want to thank our other sponsors, Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That is 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave them a message because, as we say, they do windows, so they're out quite a bit. Also brought to you by Bloodhound Underground. They're a subsurface utility consulting firm providing services nationwide. Make sure you give them a call before you dig at 888-858-9830, 888-858-9830. Brian Scott, Tom Marquez, Josh Elmore on the line as we are talking here on another fine episode of The Balance. Talked to earlier today the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Mr. Paul Keels, as we talked about a big, big day in Ohio State and college football in general with the resignation of Jim Tressel this week on Memorial Day Monday. Evidently, things were just not going to happen. A Sports Illustrated article was soon to come out detailing that the past indiscretions with Jim Tressel and Ohio State go a lot deeper than just five players that were suspended for the first five games. He decided to resign, took an opportunity to talk to Paul Keels, and here's what he had to say.
We're talking to the voice of the Ohio State football and basketball Buckeyes, Paul Keel, here on The Balance. Paul, glad to have you aboard, and it's been a very crazy, crazy week, and actually past 6 months there in Columbus, Ohio. Why don't you tell us, what's the mood right now in Columbus after the resignation of head football coach Jim Tressel on Monday?
Well, now that it's a few days removed, it's tapered just a little bit. But the emotions really cover a lot of areas, from people who are upset with Coach Tressel, who are upset with the players that were involved in this, whose actions kind of got the whole snowball rolling. people who just want to hope that now what's happened this week results in, this part of the process being done and getting closer to a resolution, and those that just want to continue to be Buckeye fans. And the comment of the university and the athletic department is bigger than one person is something that's come up a lot in the last few days.
You talked about this snowballing, and that's really been a snowball. It started as something back in December with a few players trading off or memorabilia to get either tattoos, selling off items they thought were theirs to get money. And now we're here on Memorial Day where Coach Tressel has been forced to resign himself. This snowball effect, at what point did somebody go, you know, this is a lot bigger than just a few items sold to get some tattoos?
Well, you have to go back to a year ago, April. That's when the whole process really started, and that's when Jim Tressel was first made aware of the involvement of his players with this particular tattoo owner. And for whatever his reasons were, and I know he's talked a lot about out of concern for the players, chose not to let anybody else know about it within the university or within the compliance office, but did make contact with other people about it. Then in September, the yearly affidavits acknowledging that there had been no rules violation in the program. And then in December, when we all became aware of these five players and the suspensions they would receive, and at that time Jim Tressel still maintaining that he knew nothing about it, and then I think it was January or February, through the course of preparing for the NCAA investigation, when emails and phone records showed otherwise. So it really has kind of been all over the place. You know, it got us to March for the press conference in which, Coach Tressel had admitted what had gone on. The university, both the athletic director and the president, voiced support for Jim Tressel. But I think that when it became apparent that there may be more than what was already known, and a lot of this ties into the Sports Illustrated article that came out, that's where it got it to the point where it seemed to be that there was too much going on for things to remain status quo.
This has been, we've heard this past few days from Maurice Claret, Ray Small, of course, the big interview in the OSU Lantern, that this has been not just an isolated incident, but a consistent variable throughout Jim Tressel's tenure. We might take Maurice Claret and Ray Small. Claret, of course, had his own issues. Ray Small, been in Tressel's doghouse on and off throughout his career. But in the past day or so, we've heard from Craig Krenzel and Bobby Carpenter saying, yeah, we're disappointed, we're not shocked. What's the mood for those like yourself that have been around the program? Is there really no shock to this, or was it that well hidden?
Well, I think that for everybody that has a connection, direct or indirect, the shock or the surprise might be in varying degrees. I think certainly there have been indications that there are some players that have been allowed to have their own set of rules, and certainly it seems that Maurice Clarett allegedly fell into that category. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that Terrell Pryor falls into that category, and obviously this, you know, either is allowed to occur or is condoned to occur by the head coach, and that's kind of what has maybe got people talking and burning up the gossip benches and things of that nature. But by the same token, too, I think the concern also got to be, you know, how did this football program be allowed to exist almost at times separate from the rest of the athletic department? Was it a result of the success they had on the field, et cetera, et cetera? Moving forward, certainly you've got to believe that this is a football program and coaching staff, whomever they might be, both for this year and following years, that's going to probably be watched with a lot more scrutiny than they were in the past, and not just coaches, but players as well. And that's a tough job when you consider how many individuals you're talking about.
This is going to be, it's not a matter of if, it's probably going to be a matter of when the NCAA comes down with some type of sanctions against Ohio State. Is the university preparing themselves already for this possibility? And besides the incident with the players and the coach, will the dreaded word lack of institutional control be the real big issue for Ohio State in the upcoming few months?
Well, they had been preparing for it, and that's when they became aware of, of the email and the phone records tied to Jim Tressel right after the holidays. So this has been an ongoing process, and they go before the Board of Infractions. I believe the date is August 12th. And what we don't know is if we'll know anything at that point in time, but everybody is kind of preparing and speculating for, what possible sanctions, whether it's loss of scholarships, whether it's postseason bans, whether it's further suspensions for players. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what that will happen. The lack of institutional control description, was removed back whenever the letter of infractions was received a couple of months ago, but it's clear to think that they might revisit that idea now, given everything that's happened. What you don't know is now that the head coach is removed from the situation, who was the one that committed the act that, yes, the players committed the violations by selling the memorabilia that they were not allowed to, but it was the head coach withholding the information that has become the bigger problem. As somebody, the line that's getting a lot of play now is the cover-up was worse than the crime. What you don't know is if now taking that step has maybe put some barriers on what the sanctions would be, similar to what happened when Ohio State took the immediate action to dismiss Jim O'Brien as basketball coach and give themselves a one-year postseason ban. That did seem to put a limitation on what eventually happened with basketball.
Luke Fickell was named the interim head coach for the 5 games. Initially, Jim Tressel was suspended for 2 games by the university. He extended that to 5 games. Luke Fickell takes over. He now has that tag of interim head coach for the rest of this season. Luke Fickell is a guy that's been around Ohio State forever. He's back in the 90s, a constant, started 50 consecutive games at nose tackle for the Buckeyes. He's been around the program. We hear all the sexy talk about Urban Meyer. Mark D'Antonio up at Michigan State is somebody a lot of people, Mark Stoops. Does Luke Fickell have a real good shot of doing something this year and keeping a hold of that job?
Well, I think what happens this year will be the big determining factor on that. And also how Luke Fickell and the remainder of this staff continue to stabilize things. Let's also not forget, too, there is some head coaching experience on this staff with Jim Haycock, the other co-defensive coordinator who previously had been a head coach at Illinois State. So, this coaching staff with Luke Fickell being the point man, they have an opportunity to try and see if they can't get the ship righted here. If the season becomes a successful one on the field, you've got to believe that Luke Fickell has serious opportunity to be considered. On the statement released by the university president, they said after the year's over, they will conduct both an internal and external evaluation process for the permanent head coaching position. It seems as though Luke Fickell has great respect from the players. That it really is something that is you're limited what you can do right now as we sit here in early June and talk about it. But Luke Fickell, even when it was announced he would be the interim coach for the 5 games during what was going to be Jim Tressel's suspension, that seemed to have a positive effect from what you heard from within the program and close by for those who follow the program.
Let's step outside of Ohio State for a moment. Let's talk about NCAA in general. The NCAA oversight administration, that's pretty much what their description is. but it's really become a big business. Can Division I FBS schools in football, let's even go to basketball, is there such a focus now on doing well, going to the big dance in basketball, making a BCS game in football, that coaching staffs and universities, it's almost a contradictory thing. You've got to make the money. You're looking to do good, make your conference money, make the NCAA money, to make yourself money, yet you're still having to follow these rules. Is there a fine line that you believe now most of these schools have to walk?
Well, there isn't, and certainly the pressure to perform and the pressure to win and the pressure to succeed and make money for your university is a gigantic one. You know, Ohio State, football and men's basketball is what drives the bus for 36 sports all total. And there are those who will argue, you know, sometimes these athletic programs and these in particular sports may have to skirt the edges a little bit to get that competitive edge. In most cases, how long do head coaches have their jobs? Only so long can coaches in football win 6, 7, 8 games and not go to major bowl games and still have their jobs. So, that is part of the problem. That's the beast that has to be fed, and that's where you see at times where these programs, and it certainly isn't to excuse anything, but that's where sometimes coaches have the temptation to want to, maybe take a player that, comes in with questionable background and could end up possibly being a problem, or where a head coach, makes a decision that in hindsight they wish they hadn't and how something's taken care of. But let's not excuse that. You know those rules going in. It's easier said than done, but, just the whole operation of thing and the money at stake, it certainly is part of what adds to the equation and making it a difficult proposition.
Ohio State will come back from this. We've seen this with other major schools. It might take a little bit of time, but the Buckeyes will bounce back. Just kind of give us an idea, is there still the big interest from current recruits? I'm sure right now, has Luke Fickell been doing the majority of the recruiting during this process, during this recruiting time?
Well, I don't know for sure. I would assume that it's all the remaining coaches handling. They're broken up by geographical areas and things like that. There was a story that did come out the other day about a particular commitment who had phoned Luke Fickell the day before yesterday, I believe it was, with the intention of decommitting, and after a long conversation had reaffirmed his desire to want to be at Ohio State. So, what they're going to sell and what they've continued to sell is it's Ohio State. It's the university. It's the opportunity to get an education. It's an opportunity to play football at a high level. And I think you're going to find that, those young men in the state of Ohio who've followed the Buckeyes and understand the tradition, they're going to want to be part of it. I mean, keep in mind, too, when John Cooper was let go and Jim Tressel came in, that didn't necessarily disrupt the recruiting trail that much. They won a national championship in Jim Tressel's second year. So it's still the university that's the big selling point.
One last question. We'll let you go here. We've got players that are suspended for the 5 games. First and foremost, quarterback Terrell Pryor. Have we seen the last of Terrell as quarterback for Ohio State?
That's the question that everybody's asking right now. And it's easy to understand why people ask the question. The answer, who knows? He's now become kind of the center of what the NCAA is looking into with a situation that has Terrell allegedly associated with, half a dozen or more vehicles since his time at Ohio State. Now, most recently it's come out that the most recent vehicle that he's been attached to was purchased by his mother. There's also an issue of a suspended license that now becomes a question. Don't know, but it's a fair question to ask. But it also further muddies up the quarterback situation where there were 4 guys going into the spring that were given an opportunity to try and see if they could grab the job. Neither of the 4 played themselves into it or out of it. So, the quarterback, because of the suspensions, is going to be the other positions they can probably navigate a little bit, but the quarterback position, obviously, just because of the nature of the spot itself, is the one that's going to get the most discussion. And don't know about Terrell Pryor, but it's understandable why people ask that question.
We've been talking to the voice of the Ohio State University Buckeyes, Mr. Paul Keels. Paul, thank you for joining us on The Balance.
You got it. Take care.
That was Paul Keels explaining the situation going at Ohio State. We come back, we hope to be talking to Surya Fernandez from HotHotHoops.com. You're listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Get your quote today by giving them a call at 317-852-8712. That is 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because, unlike others, they do windows. Also brought to you by Bloodhound Underground. Call them at 888-858-9830. You want to make sure you call them before you have to go digging for underground utilities. They are a subsurface utility consulting firm providing services nationwide. That is Bloodhound Underground. And we also want to thank our hosts. They're very generous here. TGI Fridays in downtown Indianapolis at 501 West Washington Street. Make sure you come here every single Tuesday. If you are a child of the 80s, a fan of the 80s, or you just really want to have a lot of fun, starting on June 15th, they will be having 80s night here at TGI Fridays. That's 80s music, an 80s movie, and 80s trivia. That'll begin probably at 9 p.m. Stop in about 7:30. Make sure you also come in every Monday through Friday as they have happy hour from 3 to 6 and then once again from 10 to close. Alongside me is our co-host Tom Marquez. And Tom, we hope to be talking to Sturia Fernandez. In the meantime, we just heard from Paul Keels and talked a little bit about what's going on at Ohio State. But let's, while we're waiting for Sturia, let's talk maybe about one other little thing. What does this mean for college athletics in general? We've seen incidents now. If we go back to 2002, we have the 2002 champion Ohio State Buckeyes, 2004 champion USC Trojans. We have just last year the whole Cam Newton with Auburn championships, or teams that have gone to the championships, all seem to have a question mark about the legitimacy of players' improprieties. Is this something that you feel that you almost, and I was trying to get this out of Paul, it's almost becoming a necessity if you want to be the big dog at the end
right.
of the row?
Well, I think here's exactly what's going to happen. When, I don't know. I mean, obviously the NCAA does not want to change their grandfather clause, their good boy look that says we are all about amateur sports. And here's the thing. You've got basketball and football. Really, those are our major violators. You're not seeing field hockey violating these rules. So what happens if the NCAA changes a rule that says it is okay for you, moderately okay, to reward your players, whether that be financially or with cars or whatever it might be? The question is going to be, we are going to allow that because you're going to do it anyway, or if we allow that, then basically what has happened is the sports that are doing the right thing and the schools that are doing the right thing are now going to be in a situation to where they can never compete to recruit. So something has to happen. And I think really outside of making this a criminal activity, which obviously is not going to happen, this is going to continue to happen. What has happened here with Jim Tressel is a huge magnification of everything that's going on in a lot of Division I schools, especially your Big Ten schools, your SEC, and your Pac-10, and basically the ones that stand to benefit from going to a bowl game are the ones that you know are in the. If anything, this has probably said, okay, guys, we've got to start cleaning house a little bit. We've got to fix our – because just like with the steroid situation in baseball, once it comes out, and then it's everybody that begins to get investigated.
I got two things on it. First and foremost, like I mentioned with Paul, the NCAA, in my opinion, we've gone from an organization of administration and oversight to a corporate entity. Much of the reason why we don't see a BCS championship in playoff system is we aren't going to make any bones about it. It comes down to money. The reason you don't see the violations in the field hockey and all that, they don't make the money in many schools. In schools such as Ohio State, that is a two-sport revenue generator, football and basketball. Many other of the big colleges, they're usually a one-sport revenue generator. It's either football is with a lot of SEC schools. You could also look at the Dukes of the world, Kentucky, Louisville. They make their revenue during basketball season. They're almost forced into a deal now where you've got to make money for your university that pays for, as you mentioned, field hockey, soccer, in some cases, especially up here in the Midwest, baseball, softball, track, tennis. Those programs get their money from what can be pulled in from football or basketball or both. And how do you make that money? Well, you go to championships. You go to the big dance in March. You make that type of money. The NCAA has facilitated that by making these deals to make the system the way it is, to expand the tournament in March Madness, to make it a bigger deal, to make it a more lucrative deal for money, bringing in revenue for the NCAA and its member institutions. This is why I believe you don't see that often. Coaches don't get the time to work. They come in, they do their job. If you don't do it within 3 years, we're going to lose too much money to afford to keep this going. Let's find somebody else who will. In my opinion, it's become kind of a catch-22, as I was telling Paul, in that many schools rely on this revenue generated by football and basketball. We'll take Butler University here in Indianapolis. Butler University to pay for many other sports that they do, the other athletic endeavors, they count on basketball. They count on making good money with basketball. I am by no means saying that anything is on the downside on with what happened to Butler. But you also look at the college play in the Horizon League. It's not quite the same as far as the type of talent you're going to go after. If you want the blue chippers, that is really what makes the whole story with Butler so fascinating, is that they have been able to get to back-to-back national championship games from a Horizon League conference, a small conference. You're not getting the equivalent blue chipper doing it with team mentality, and they're doing it the right way. They are doing it the right way. For most schools, they need to get the athletes. If you're Duke, North Carolina, there's never been any improprieties there, nothing that's ever come to mind. But at what point does the money you need to bring in for your university, the money you need to bring in for the money you need to bring in for the NCAA so that they can put on all these extravagances? We just had the whole deal with the Fiesta Bowl and the BCS.
Right.
At what point is it really the money bring into these institutions? We need to bring in top recruits. We need to make sure that Paul Pryor is happy and he wants to stay at Ohio State. We want to make sure Maurice Claret comes to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure Cam Newton is at Auburn. We win titles. We get money. We afford to be able to do the rest of our athletic programs. And that's really my biggest concern, is the money has such an overwhelming
deciding factor that now you're starting to see schools say, look, if we don't do good and I don't bring X number of money in, I may have to cut field hockey next year.
Here's the thing. In a lot of bloggers and other online writers talk about this very thing, is that the NCAA is broke. And they're not holding coaches, administrators, not holding recruiters, they're not holding scouts, they're not holding anybody accountable. What they are doing is, well, as long as they're winning and as long as we're making money, they're not really doing anything to that, are they? But the minute that everything blows up, NCAA is the first ones to say, well, hey, you know, I told you not to do that. You know, it's kind of
hypocrisy.
Exactly. And I think that that's a huge problem with the NCAA. And until that problem is fixed, it's got to start at the top of the NCAA. They have to begin to say, hey, if you're going to coach, you're going to coach fairly. If you're going to play, you're going to play fairly. If not, that's okay. We lose they need to be willing to say, hey, we're going to lose the money from the big contracts, from the bowl games and the TV appearances to get our image back, if in fact what they want. Maybe we like being like
and
this, Brian.
I don't know if it's about the image. They are the NCAA is in major college sports have now aligned themselves as we're the opposite of pro. You know, our guys play as for the love of the game. Well, you're starting to find out there's a lot of these guys. Some of these guys don't play for the love of the game. They play for the love of a few other things.
And let's face it, if there was the ability, obviously the NFL says, hey, you've got to spend 2 years in college before you can come up to the draft with the football. Now, obviously high school and, I mean, basketball, and obviously in baseball and basketball, they still recruit high school players. But for the most part, they have to go to college to play. So basically the coaches are going to say, okay, I got 2 years out of them. I'm going to get my money's worth. And the only way I can do that is to get them here. And the only way I can get them here is to give them a new car or whatever it is.
Make sure they have the ability to get that new car. They may not make the arrangements themselves.
Sure.
But they'll make sure they know where to go. We're going to take a final time out and come back on our fourth and final segment here of The Balance. We'll talk about all sorts of stuff. We hope to still hear from Surya Fernandez from HotHotHoops.com. If not, we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA. Hopefully, Josh Elmore is on his way. Don't you dare miss it. We'll be back with the final segment of The Balance.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio nationwide. Glad you could join us. We are live at TGI Fridays at 501 West Washington Street in downtown Indianapolis. We thank them so much for hosting us here this afternoon. Don't forget, starting on June 15th, every Tuesday night,
is 80s night here at TGI Fridays. 80s music, an 80s movie, and 80s trivia beginning at 9 o'clock. Make sure you stop by. All sorts of fun. Big hair in spandex is optional, but it's always enjoyed. Also, want to remind everybody they have happy hour every 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, and 10 to close as well. Also want to thank our other sponsors, Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That is 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave them a message because, unlike many others, they do windows, and they are very, very busy. Also brought to you by Bloodhound Underground at 888-858-9830. They are an underground subsurface utility consulting firm providing services nationwide. That's Bloodhound Underground at 888-858-9830. My name's Brian Scott. Next to me is Mr. Tom Marquez, our co-host for The Balance. And, Tom, we've talked about a lot of things. We're going to take a quick time out to just simply talk Game 2 of the NBA Finals tonight before we wrap things up here on The Balance, talking about some of our favorite stuff, Indianapolis Indians baseball. It is Game 2. Of course, the Miami Heat are up 1-0 after they defeated Dallas by the score of 92-84 back on Monday or Tuesday evening. And it was a game that maybe the stats, some people will think it was a little closer. I personally don't think it was as close as many others believed it was, and really, Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat, they pulled away in that third into the fourth quarter, and really, it last 2 or 3 minutes, in any doubt. We learned that Dirk Nowitzki has torn a tendon in his non-shooting hand, in his guide hand. I believe it's on his middle finger, but we'll play tonight. We saw in Game 1, both teams didn't shoot it overly well. Both teams shot around 38%. The big difference in that game was simply the matter that Miami gained 10 more offensive rebounds than Dallas. And as Rick Carlisle, the Mavericks, say, when you get 10 more opportunities on the offensive end, they usually are going to put in.
Well, and that's really what it amounts to. That sums it up. Rick Carlisle has got to get the rebounds. They have got to get the shots. As we were talking about before the show today, Brian, that basically there was nothing that Rick Carlisle could do to make anything work. So it was just a matter of time till things come together. So really what I think has to happen tonight is that the Dallas Mavericks have to just sit back and relax. They don't have to win tonight. They go back to Dallas. They're in front of a friendly crowd. They got some time to regroup. Here's the thing. We talked about this earlier on the show. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, I mean, just a couple guys on the team that they can just trade off and just kind of trade punches at you. One can beat you up, and then the other one can beat you up, and there's two different angles in which they have to go at. So they have to get the rebounds. They have to maintain control of the ball. But they don't have to be in a hurry to win this game. They don't have to win tonight's game to make it happen, Brian.
No, they don't. The 2-3-2 format normally will favor the road team. So while we don't see the Dallas Mavericks having to win this game, a win by the Mavericks now puts them in a chance that they can close out in Dallas. Now, they still have a long way to go. Looking over the stats from Tuesday night's game, the one stat that jumps out at me is the plus-minus stat. And simply put, a plus-minus stat basically means when a player comes onto the court, did that team gain or lose points with that player on the court? For the Dallas Mavericks, every single player is negative, with the exception of Jason Terry, who had 12 points. So it really didn't matter who Rick Carlisle put out on the court. He had issues trying to find that combination that would stem the tide against the Miami Heat. Now, Miami, it's pretty simple. You have LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. At some point during the regular season, you had one or two having good nights. Here in the playoffs, Chris Bosh, who was basically non-existent for a lot, he came up, and he had some fantastic moments here in these playoffs. So Game 2 will come down to, I believe, once again, I think Miami did a very good job defensively, making sure they rotated to the ball and helping out. But Rick Carlisle, if he's got anything he needs to address, it'll be taking care of limiting those offensive rebounds by the Heat. And on the line, we are pleased to bring in from HotHotHoops.com, Surya Fernandez. Surya, am I getting your name right?
Yeah, you got it perfectly.
We're glad to have you, Surya, as we get ready for game two tonight between the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks. And I'm going to ask you one question here as huge fans of the Miami Heat. Has the Heat been what you guys have, granted we're in the NBA Finals, but was the regular season satisfactory for Heat fans?
I mean, they weren't going to live up to anybody's expectations. Not the first year. I mean, there was a lot of wild speculation about how good they could be, and we might not never know really how good they could have been if Mike Miller and Udonis Haslem were healthy the whole season. But every team has injuries, so there's a lot of what if. But ultimately, I don't think anybody can complain of how they ended up here. And even if they were to lose the finals, I mean, I think just to get to the finals the first year and so many new teammates, I think is already a success.
And I'm sorry, Surya, did I say your name right? And I apologize. I know Brian got it just right on the button, but I have a hard time with names sometimes. This is Tom. I'm so glad you could join us here on The Balance. One of the things I want to ask you about is, real quick, I want you to tell us about HotHotHoops.com. I mean, you guys are a big hit down there in Miami, and you guys are really made up of nothing but Heat fans. And so tell us a little bit about HotHotHoops.com. And what you guys are and how and what you guys are made up.
We started out as an affiliate on ESPN True Hoop Network, and then through that we got connections and we got I have credentials. I've been covering the Heat, so I'm really probably the only independent blogger journalist that has credentials for the Heat. So we have a good amount of exclusive interviews and videos from practice and things like that, but as well we have game recaps, advanced stat analysis. It's not really something that you're going to read in the newspaper. It's going to be a little bit more cut and dry coverage. So we're trying to do a little bit of something different considering just how many media outlets cover the Heat nowadays. It's certainly different than it was last year.
As we go through these NBA finals, during the regular season, of course, a lot of flare-ups and a lot of talk about head coach Eric Spoelstra. Was he getting through with LeBron and Dwayne and Chris Bosh? Were they gelling together? In the end, this team did a fantastic run the back half of the season and into the playoffs. Well, Heat fans basically say that they are winning with Spoelstra or in spite of Spoelstra.
There's still going to be people that all year were complaining about Spoelstra, and anytime they lost a couple of games in a row, people immediately called for his head. And, it's a bit unfair because, like I was saying, there is a lot of new teammates, a lot of things to put together. And I think he's done a good job of balancing everybody's egos and, so much media, too, has descended upon him and is ready to take him to for anything that makes him pump. But he does deserve credit for getting them to the finals, and a lot of that talk has obviously died down now.
So as they go into Game 2 tonight with the Dallas Mavericks, both teams didn't really shoot the ball the greatest. As Rick Carlisle mentioned, the big thing came down to offensive rebounding, with the Heat being plus 10 on that side of the scoreboard. Is there anything that the Heat are focusing on? You can't believe they're going to shoot 38% consistently through these playoffs, that they're bound to get a few more contributions off the bench.
I mean, you got to take everything. Any production from the bench is a bonus. And if it's shooting poorly, it's because some shots simply didn't go in, but a lot of it was because the Heat played really good defense, and they did it against the Celtics, they did it against the Bulls. Teams that also have good defenses. So you're having on one side of the floor, you have all this athleticism to cover any shooter that Dallas has, but you also have the explosiveness on the other side to make those highlight worthy dunks and special plays. But that's not the whole game. That's not the reason why they won. The reason why they won is because they've been playing really good defense the whole postseason.
And One of the things that we certainly want to talk to you, and I know we got here right beside us is our NBA analysis guy, Josh Elmore. And I know, Josh, you've been following the Pacers here in town and certainly been on the cutting edge of everything that's been going on. Josh, you have anything real quick before we go to a break?
What do you think of the Miami Heat becoming the first NBA team to ever win a finals game with two of their starters scoring 0 points?
I mean, the difference in talent, you know, between the first, you know, 3 to 5 guys to the Heat, and then the drop-off is something that you really haven't seen really since maybe the Bulls, where you would see, you know, maybe Steve Kerr or Horace Grant, you know, maybe averaging 8 or 9 points, but then the bulk of the scoring is with Jordan and Pippen. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. If the big three score 75 points together, that's almost like a normal day of work against, you know, against most teams in the regular season. So this isn't something that is new. This is the bench is really there to go for the hustle plays, to get, you know, offensive rebounds, spread the floor, you know, with shooting. You know, that's what they do. So it's not so much just in the scoring column whether the bench produced or not. Somebody like Joel Anthony, you look at his box scores, you think that he didn't do anything, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that they do that just don't show up on the box score.
I would agree, and I know the NBA draft is coming up pretty quickly, and I continue to hear a lot of talk that the Miami Heat might draft Chandler Parsons, the forward out of Florida. How do you think he would fit in with LeBron and Wade and Bosch?
I mean, to be honest with you, just about any rookie that would be going into this team right now would probably play very little. I mean, you saw Dexter Pittman maybe get a few minutes of garbage time in 1 year, so maybe you'll have a shot before any other rookie would come in, because they're really in win-now mode. And that's just not the Heat mentality. It's just to pay a lot of attention to the draft. They probably would draft out of the they would probably trade out of the draft if they could. They pretty much did last year. So I don't see any rookie having any impact. Hopefully the Heat can make one or two free agent signings. I mean, it's all up in the air with the CBA right now. So it's just in a holding pattern, really. But what reinforcements the Heat could bring in.
And switching gears for a moment, there's an article out in the Indianapolis Star today that Frank Vogel's about to have the interim tag removed, which isn't a surprise. The surprise is who he's supposed to be putting on his coaching staff, names such as Frank Hamblin, who's been a longtime Phil Jackson assistant, Terry Porter, Brian Shaw, who was rumored to be the next L.A. Laker coach, and Terry Bickerstaff, who's a Minnesota Timberwolves assistant. My question is, who do you think is going to get the Golden State and the Detroit job?
Detroit. Wow. I honestly don't know. I mean, it's really up in the air. I haven't seen where there's somebody that they're zeroing in on. So I wouldn't know. I haven't really heard anything myself.
Well, we've been talking to Sergio Fernandez with HotHopHoops.com. Real quickly, we've got to go. We appreciate you taking time to join us today. But if you could real quickly tell us how they can find you. Is it www.HotHopHoops.com?
HotHopHoops.com, yeah. And I also am the editor of an NBA blog called Crossover Chronicles. So you can find that in CrossoverChronicles.com as well. And on Twitter, it's my name, Surya, Surya, Heat, NBA. That's where you can find me.
All right, Sergio, we appreciate you joining us today, and we wish you and the Miami Heat the best of luck against the Dallas Mavericks tonight.
Thank you so much.
Guys, when we get right back, we're going to be jumping right into racing. RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review, the magazine, is going to be here, and we're going to be talking all about racing, the Indianapolis 500, and everything that's been going on in the world of racing here in the last month of the May.
gonna be chasing after some.
All right, and welcome to The Balance. Well, speed racers, race fans, it's that time of the show where we turn the reins and the thing over to our guy in the pit box, our crew chief, Mr. R.J. Cunningham. And I know that you're out moving around and moving boxes and stuff today. You couldn't join us down here at TGI Fridays. But R.J. Cunningham, welcome to Trackside Review Radio Style.
Yeah, and I just sat in the nice recliner. My back is literally killing me from moving. So I am
all two boxes,
with the Naito. Yeah, well, I moved all the heavy stuff. I'm the one, everybody thinks that because I'm a big guy, I can lift. And yeah, I can, but I pay for it for 3 or 4 days. So, you know,
you gotta lift from the waist.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose. Anyway, so I'm here. I'm awake with a caffeine headache because I'm trying to get off the old soft drink again. So anyway, I'm ready for racing this weekend. I got one more day of moving, and then I'll be ready to rock and roll.
Well, RJ, we've had the big weekend here in Central Indiana. It, of course, culminated on Sunday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with a centennial running of the Indianapolis 500. We had the night before the 500 at Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis. We had the little 500 at Anderson Speedway. I was going to ask if you are in a racing drunken haze, but I know better than that. You've built up that tolerance after many years. Let's go and just start right into the Indianapolis 500. You got to sit down and watch what pretty much was a very exciting race, a very interesting race, and one that so far the TV ratings bear out. People tuned in.
Yeah, it was one of the best races I've ever witnessed. The last 2 or 3 years definitely become a fuel race. Those that can get their fuel stops right and conserve fuel on the beginning of a fuel run usually have it to use at the end of the run. And the only problem I see with the race itself, towards the end of the race, when they all start, you know, taking the ultimate chance, it is causing some problems. Last year it was really bad with Conway, and really that's what kept us from having a rookie winner. Because, Kimball had slowed down just enough. He wasn't going that slow earlier in the race. I was in turn three, and I could see the problem coming. I knew something was going to happen because he was just going pretty slow.
As we looked at this race, of course, the pole sitter, Alex Tagliani, he'd been fast in the past previous 2 weeks leading up into the race. We also, it was a curious thing on my part, we saw Tagliani take the pole. He was at the top of the speed charts all week long leading up to the race, but it was always very limited laps. Come race time, we find out that car had all sorts of problems. He was having an oil overheating with his oil, and he didn't even get to finish the race. Problems with that car. Whereas we saw the Andretti Motorsports cars that started slow, with especially Marco and Danica Patrick. I don't think John Andretti really ever got into any type of speed whatsoever. But Marco and Danica started slow. They were finding good speed toward the end of the race. And then, of course, the Ganassi cars, they were there all week long. And, Josh, it was a very interesting race. We saw this all was down about, you know, we led into this about being the small guys, Alex Tagliani, Carpenter, and these. In the end, I think we like to think Sam Schmidt, even though it wasn't his team, it was almost his car. But it was still, he's got a pretty good sized team behind him.
Yeah, he does, and I think it goes to prove, first of all, congratulations to Ed Carpenter on the great finish in the Indy 500. I know he wanted to win, but as long as he's with Sarah Fisher Racing, I think the best he's going to hope to do is 11th. I don't think Fisher has the equipment and the engineers to get up there and race with the big boys.
But it was a solid run throughout the day.
A spectacular month of May for Sarah Fisher Racing. A spectacular month of May for Panther Racing, even though it didn't work out for J.R. Hildebrand. Congratulations on Dan Weldon. It is awesome to see a one-all program, as they call it, come into the month of May and win the Indy 500. It's sad we won't see him again this year, though.
Well, it was really a sad situation for J.R. Hillebrand, and it was really maybe it was a rookie mistake. Maybe we'll never know. But the thing is, he had the checkered flag in his sight. I think he lost focus a little bit. I mean, he had the great speeds in practice. You know, he had a great car behind him. So certainly had the opportunity to win it. All he had to do was finish that turn that he had done 799 times before. But it's that one time that everybody's talking about. And we're going to be talking about that very and RJ, I'm sure you know the history behind this race a lot better than I do. But we're going to be talking about this race for a long, long time up there with Al Unser's finish and a lot of other great finishes here at the Indianapolis 500, RJ.
Yeah, we are. But, you know, in a nutshell, the way I see it, let's go to the next race. I'm looking forward to next year even more because of the potential for the new cars. I really hope they don't stick with the original cars. I'm looking forward to the different side pods and new motors and new aspirations. And by the way, that was Sam Schmidt's car. I watched the banquet on Monday night, getting my entire racing fixed. You know, believe it or not, the only race I didn't finish watching was the World 600. I watched all kinds of other races. you know, it was his car, and they were teasing in the banquet because they kind of wanted to buy the car from Sam so they could do more racing before the end of the year. So, you know, I don't know whether it'd be a good investment because of the new ride. I understand Herta is going to be a part of the test program for the new cars. So, you know, I'm looking forward to July going out and watching the new cars test. You know, I haven't had a stopwatch out for years, but I guarantee you I'm going to bring one out then.
Well, one of the big things we saw here in the month of May was the fans came back to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and they came back in big, big numbers. And, well, everybody, Tom Marquez, RJ Cunningham, Josh, and a whole bunch of other people get to talk to some of the fans, and we call that fan talk.
Hot Wheels Fearless at the 500. We're going to just try to get some audio of this that's about to happen. What are your thoughts?
Can he make it?
Oh, yeah.
No,
your thoughts. Can
he
make it?
Yeah, yeah.
Can he make it?
Absolutely.
Does anybody think he can't make it?
$5
he can't make it.
Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to Trackside Review, the radio show sponsored by Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Make sure you get your quote today by giving them a call at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because they do windows, and they're pretty busy. Microtel Inn and Suites, where racing stays while in Indianapolis. They're at 5815 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. You can make your reservations by calling them at 317-247-9703. Also brought to you by Bloodhound Underground at 888-858-9830. They're a subsurface utility consulting firm providing services nationwide. Again, give them a call, 888-858-9830. And we also want to give our very special thanks to our host this afternoon, TGI Fridays at 501 West Washington Street in downtown Indianapolis. Make sure you come here every Tuesday beginning June 15th. For 80s night, 80s music, an 80s movie, and 80s trivia beginning at 9 o'clock. That's at TGI Fridays at West Washington Street. Don't forget, happy hour 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, and from 10 to close as well. Alongside Tom Marquez, Mr. Josh Elmore, and on the line, the owner and editor and chief head cook and bottle washer, R.J. Cunningham, who's also has the title of chief moving man this week. RJ, we talked a little bit about the Indy 500. Let's kind of shift a little bit of gear. We'll come back to the 500 a little bit later, but let's go back to something near and dear to your heart. You got to go to Lucas Oil Raceway for the night before the 500. Dodged a few raindrops, but got to see some pretty exciting racing.
Yeah, what was really cool about that event was the track. You know, it was close, and we got to the track dry, and still the racing was done before midnight. I was quite impressed that they were able to get that done and so efficiently, and it's just a great crowd of racing, great fans too. They kept coming in and coming in and coming in. It was so nice being in the media center and looking and seeing all the headlights still coming in, even after, you know, the rains had come, and, you know, going out and spending a little bit of time in the pits with Josh and seeing the fans come in. It's really, racing in general, considering the weather this month, it was a fantastic weekend. I went to the Hoosier 100 also, and even though it was kind of a huggy pole type of race, it was still a quality race. And it wasn't too dusty, and it wasn't too hot. It was very comfortable. And to see Shane Meal in a wheelchair after his injuries from last year was just really, really something. And if race fans, if you post a comment on the website, I did pick up a Shane Meal T-shirt to give away for people that post comments on the website. I have a certain amount of numbers that I pull out of my head at the beginning of the month, and usually they always coincide with numbers of people that I remember in racing. So that's how I determine how the winners are. So in other words, we've had the third and the seventh winner of the month already. So now the next two winners, which I'm not going to mention the numbers, but so you may or may not be one of the people that win the Shane Meal T-shirt, but we've still got the gas gift cards or the Visa gift cards to give away. And remember also, if you don't tell me where you live when I send you an email after you win, it's hard for me to send you your gift card. So for Mary, that one person that won, she's got to send me her email address and her address so I can send the gift card to her. I'm sure she can use some gas.
RJ, Saturday night was pretty exciting. It was the first midget race that I've actually been to. I got to say, I see what you see out at the short track. Now, there's not a bad seat in Lucas Oil Raceway Park. I thought it was a phenomenal midget race. The thing that impressed me the most about the drivers in the Mazda and the USF 200 and the midget series races is the fact they're so accessible. You know, when you get up to IndyCar and NASCAR, maybe the drivers aren't as accessible, but it seemed to me, and I don't know what your impression, you've been covering this sport a little bit longer than I have, the drivers on that level are ecstatic that somebody wants to interview them.
Well, the bottom line, it's all about meeting and greeting people and getting the exposure. Believe me, these guys love midget racing. They love sprint car racing, but don't let me kid you or let them kid you. They want to get in that upper echelon of racing, and their name has got to get out there. They've got to be seen, and it's one thing to be seen on paper, you know, that they started fifth in a feature and they finished first and they set a track record. It's a totally different ball game when you see them fighting the wheel and see them thrashing, working on the car, changing the shocks, changing the rear end, moving the spring rubbers or the spacers in and out on the axles, and you know how fast they have to work to get ready for each event. And what's also cool is to see the wives of the race teams. They get out there and hustle and work just like the guys do.
You know what, RJ and Assam, we were sitting there in the press box at Lucas Oil, and we were just kind of going through the drivers of the night on the night before the 500, and just looking at the different sponsors, and I pointed this out to you, and you said this happens more than not, kind of going along with what you said. It said the name, the car number, and the car owner, and then sponsor, mom and dad. You said that happens more times than you believe.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And you look at it, you know, many different ways. You know, you can let a child go out and get himself in trouble, you know, or you can tell them that they can do something very exciting and mom and dad are willing to spend a few thousand on you if you will keep your grades up and you'll do the right things in life and be a good person, we'll put you in a race car. And if you have talent, you just might have a future. And, you know, in most cases, it's safer than driving on a street. With all the safety equipment that Impact has provided and Simpson and all the cages and, you know, the cars that Beast make and DRG makes and all these guys, safety is always a factor. And they think about safety before they think about speed. Believe me, they do think about speed, too, and they'll always try to tweak the rules a bit. But, you know, they want those guys safe. And, you know, it's a great way for a family to enjoy life. And, Tom, what I thought was funny is, and you probably don't even realize it, but during the feature event, you stood up the entire feature. You didn't sit down 1 minute during the feature. And I thought that was so hilarious. I just, my term would say be saying, gotcha.
Yeah, it was very exciting, and I'll be the first one to eat crow on that, and the addict that I have been exposed to a lot of racing over the time, but we'll call it big boy racing, and it's really exciting to see these young drivers, I had really a good opportunity to go through the pits and talk to a lot of these young star Mazda drivers, and you know I was really really impressed because these guys are at the very next level. In fact, it's actually called the Road to Indy, and they are at the very next level. It's, hey, you got to look at me now. And really, some of these drivers, you know, are going to be in the Indy Lights series in the next couple of years, if not next year. And that certainly is their aspirations. Obviously, it's the next developmental league as moving up into the IndyCar. And I was really, really impressed in seeing these young kids. And, I mean, that's what they are. You know, we're talking 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, Brian, that are out there in these star Mazda cars, which, for all intents and purposes, is an IndyCar in a very smaller level.
And the scale. Whole point that you get with the night before the 500, I still believe, is you get these young kids, and RJ, you know as probably well as anybody, the great thing about the night before the 500 at Lucas Oil Raceway is you're not only racing in front of fans, but you've got a lot of big-name people there watching these drivers and how well they do, and it's an audition. It's a true audition to be able to see, to let these big guys see how these kids drive, and who knows, how you race out there on that night before the 500 might determine whether or not you're a Brian Clausen coming up and racing Indy Lights the next year.
And what was so cool is after the races, they had the guys come up for press releases and so on up in the media center, and I remember that young Beach gentleman, B-E-A-C-H, I believe was his last name. If that young man was 4 foot tall, I would be amazed. I and they were all so well spoken and so their manners were just impeccable. They are professionals in every sense of the word, not only on the track but off, and it's just so cool. You know, if I were a parent and I had the opportunity to let my child be involved and at 14, 15, 16 years old be able to stand in front of a boardroom and discuss, you know, his future aspirations and career hopes, and with such professionalism, it was very impressive. The racing was really very good, too. Those cars, you know, those guys aren't used to running ovals, and it's very interesting to see them run at Milwaukee. I'm hoping to hit Milwaukee. You know, that could be a very good race for those cars, too.
I would agree. And another thing that I thought was really interesting, first of all, Zach Veach is really short. But I don't even remember this guy's name. He never actually introduced himself to me. He's the crew chief for Shannon McIntosh in the USF 200 series. And he walked up to me and he said, I haven't seen you around here before. And I went, no. I'm new covering the sport. And he took time to tell me about all the tracks they go to and show me the different pieces of the car and explain to me the difference between that series and the IndyCar series and how it's not just the drivers who are trying to work their way up. A lot of these crew chiefs are hoping for that lucky break to get moved up to Indy Lights Series so they can move up into IndyCar Series, or they can move over to the Sprint Cup Series, or whatever it is that they ultimately want to do.
You know, it's odd that you mention that, because I never took that as an article content, but you are correct. I mean, they all do need to move up, too, and that's excellent. Josh, I got to admit, you were on it that night. You were out there. I took you around a little bit, just kind of showed you a little bit, and you took the bull by the horns and took it upon yourself to go out there and learn, too, and that was pretty cool. I don't really, you know, even though I have this racing magazine and so on, I'm not really that interested in the media centers and being in the pits. I'm interested in watching the racing and trying to get people that have not been to the racetracks to go. And you have to have a fine line as to what you decide you want to write about. Yes, you want to get fans going to the racetracks, but why do you want them to go to the racetracks? Do you want them to see the driver, or do you want to see that fantastic chief mechanic that has a car that scrapes the wall? For example, the Indy Lights program, that race where David Ostello spun, went into the grass, had mud slung all through his car, missed the wall. The spotter did his job to keep him off the wall. He gets done and gets in the pit. They've got 1 hour to clean all the mud and gunk off the car, check all the suspension components, make sure the scaling is correct, clean the car up, put a new nose on the car, and get back out there and run competitively. Now, if that doesn't, you know, impress me and potential people in the racing sport, I don't know what would. I mean, really, what more could you ask of a chief mechanic for any kind of team?
Well, RJ, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment before we move on to the next one. Let's talk about the racing. Give us a quick little recap of what happened out at Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis. Had, of course, the big midget feature, the USF race there. Kind of give us a little recap of what happened that night.
Well, that particular night, we all showed up, and they were running USF practice, and, you know, that was just the drivers of that series raced. And then the midgets got out there and ran, and then the Formula 2000 guys ran. So there was three different divisions of racing that fans could watch. And then we had the rains come, unfortunately, but that allowed everybody to mingle and go visit the Cooper Tires facility, get some nice adult beverages, go downstairs and mingle and greet with some of the drivers. They had an autograph session down there. And it's funny, I didn't even see the pictures taken of the autograph session, but Statman Steve was down there taking those pictures, and I'm working on getting all those pictures on the website, too, by the way, fans. First, I had to clean up a few, and now I've got to work on that area. But it was just good.
We've got RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review Radio. When we come back here in just a few moments, we're going to talk about the other 500 that happened in the state of Indiana back on Saturday, the Little 500 up at Anderson Speedway. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com. We are live at TGI Fridays at 501 West Washington in downtown Indianapolis. Got a little bit of time, about a half hour before we are done here. Make sure you start coming to TGI Fridays every Tuesday beginning June 15th for 80s night. 80s music, 80s movie, 80s trivia beginning at 9 o'clock. Of course, big hair in spandex is optional, but it always makes life fun. Also, don't forget you can have happy hour every 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, and from 10 to close. Again, our happy host, and we thank them, TGI Fridays here at 501 West Washington. Also, I'd like to thank Mid-State Window Cleaners. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Get your quote today at 317-852-8712. Give them a call at 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because we do windows, and, you know, they're busy people. They're just always out and about, so make sure you leave a message. Also, Microtel Inn and Suites, where racing stays while in Indianapolis, located at 5815 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. You can make your reservation by calling 317-247-9703. That's 317-247-9703. And finally, we also want to thank our friends at Bloodhound Underground. You give them a call, at 888-858-9830. Subsurface utility consulting firm providing services nationwide. That is Bloodhound Underground. Alongside Tom Marquess, Josh Elmore, our esteemed host R.J. Cunningham, Statman Steve has arrived. And we have very, very special guest joining us today. Is Tom, why don't you introduce our good, distinguished friend here.
Our bloomers. joining us right here at TGI Fridays, obviously, is Statman Steve. And right next to him is Tim Spillman, a wonderful guy to talk to and a wonderful guy that's been around racing for a long time. You're the chaplain for USAC Racing. And on the line with us is R.J. Cunningham. He couldn't make it. With Trackside Review, the magazine. So, RJ, I know that you follow a lot of USAC. You've been around racing for how long now, Tim?
Well, actually, I've been around one way or another since 1990. In 1990, I was asked by the Roman Catholic priest and the chaplain that done IndyCar if I would be their assistant. And I was their assistant from 90 to 95. In 95, they asked me if I'd be the chaplain for the National USAC Midgets, and did that till 98, and at that point, that's when Kurt and IRL had their split, and I was asked then if I would go in the CART series and be the chaplain, the Toyota Atlantic chaplain, and I did that till 2001, and in 2001, because of finances and situations, that went away. And in 2001, came back with USAC, with American Racing Ministries, and I'm the Silver Crown Chaplain for USAC.
Now, RJ, go ahead. You're up.
Since you're
against our cues.
Well, Tim, I really appreciate you
coming to the show today, especially since I couldn't be there. But I want to know, I think I know what you do on a daily basis, but were you there last year when Shane Meal had his accident in Terre Haute?
Unfortunately, yes, I was. It was a coincidence, but I was about the fourth individual to the race car.
Really?
Immediately I seen what had happened, and I was over the wall and right there. Yes, I was.
Now, can you take that through as fans and so on, what your duties would be at that point? We know the devastating crash that Shane Meal had. Can you walk the fans through on, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this, but what do you do? What is your duties at that particular moment?
Well, immediately at that time, what I tried to do was mainly comfort the crew. The crew was running out there, and they immediately want to get real close and everything, and how is he? And of course, they want to get as close as they can. And basically, there was one of the crew members that just literally fell into my arms and said, "Oh, Tim, oh, Tim." And, you know, you try to be a go-between between the emergency team and let them do their job, and the crew or the family, and you just try to, console them to whatever they might need, and that's basically what I did.
Okay, now, after the event, you go to their trailer and kind of get everybody to calm down and everything. So, after the event is over, what follow-up procedures do you do after the racing is over?
Now, on the situation with Shane, we knew it was a very critical situation. A lot of times, if somebody gets injured or taken to the hospital, we'll tell the team member or wife or whatever, they'll figure out a way to get her to the hospital. But after a lot of them, what we'll do, we'll just basically tell them, as soon as we go check her, I'll be right there. But on a deal like Shane, I just told USAC, I said, "I'm going to the hospital right now," because at that point it was kind of shaky. We didn't know the situation. We didn't know if we were going to lose a race driver or what the situation was going to be. And of course I went to the hospital immediately to be a go-between between his crew and between the medical staff. And, of course, we immediately tried to get a hold of his parents. His father was out in California, and his mother was in North Carolina. And so we just tried to, again, be a go-between between the team and just do the best we could do to help keep people calm more than anything else.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that's a miracle in itself, just trying to console the crew members. I mean, when you... you know, we all know there's an outside chance and a risk of getting hurt, but for some reason, we just don't think it's going to happen, you know? I know that seems kind of odd, as dangerous and as high-powered as those, especially the Silver Crown cars and the Sprint cars are. It's just mind-boggling to think that we can go so many times without having an injury, and back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, I mean, they would lose a driver a week, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
If you looked at those cars back then, I mean, there was not nearly the protection that we have nowadays. And of course, what I shared that you just try to console the team. What I did there at the hospital, I had prayer with crew. I had prayer with his car owners, and just continue to stay in touch. And then once the machine was air vac'd to Indianapolis, we went back to the track, told everybody that we were going to have going and head to Indianapolis, and basically for 1 month, actually until Shane was transported back down to North Carolina, I was up to the hospital in the evening. Every day until he was back to North Carolina, just praying with the family and doing whatever we were able to do.
Now, Tim,
unfortunately, with your job, you get to deal with the, we'll call it the dark side of racing, which is a tragedy that has to happen. But you also, on the same token, you get to deal a lot with the positive parts of these lives. I know you've got some stories about Tony Stewart and some other pretty big-name drivers that you still talk to on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah. And, the question was asked about Shane Meal, and that is a dark side. I mean, you know, it happens. They're in a very, very dangerous profession. They love it. They know the dangers there. But most of it's a positive side. Yeah, we've got personal relationships with Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman, Casey Kane. You know, there's several of them that we have had tremendous opportunities with. Not of them are still in USAC, but a lot of them are still affiliated with USAC. They have their own teams, and it's just a great opportunity to share with them and continue to pray with them and everything. I mean, it's definitely positive.
Tim, as you know, we were at Habstab, Saturday night 2 weeks ago, and Cody got hurt real bad. Cody Swanson, you were on the track immediately consulting his wife. I understand that he's now out of the hospital. Have you got any more updates on him? The last time I just told him what had happened, that was it.
Well, he got out of the hospital a week ago Wednesday. He's actually been out of the hospital now a week, and he's doing very well. He was supposed to have another medical checkup today. He's doing very, very well. I've talked to his wife. In fact, I was planning on calling him today, but I did not get an opportunity yet. But he's doing very, very well. God protected him. And Cody will flat tell you, if it wasn't for God taking care of him, he's a very good Christian man, Cody Swanson, and his brother Tanner both are, the whole family. And he is just he's just a tremendous young man. God blessed him. He understands that God protected him and kept him safe.
Now, Tim, we talked about Cody. On that very same night out in Anderson, I know you weren't able to be there, William Medford lost his life in a very tragic accident out there. Are you still in contact with their family and try to console them and stuff, even though you weren't there at the time of the accident?
No, I have not been in touch with the people up at Anderson about this. Usually if it's not directly connected to USAC, we've got so many things going that we just don't have a time. Now, if they get in touch with us and they would like for us to help them in some way, we'll do the best of our ability.
Now, we have a lot of race fans, a lot of race teams that listen to our show. How can they get in touch with you and what kind of services do you offer?
Well, we basically do the exact same thing as any pastor would do at any church. We do communion services at the racetrack. We do chapel services. We've had the tremendous opportunity of doing some weddings. We have had to do some family funerals, but that's the negative. We're not going to dwell there. But anybody who'd like to get in touch with me, they can. It's American Racing Ministries, and they can contact me at my home phone. It's a cell, area code 317-435-1133, and I have that cell with me all the time.
Hey, Tim, I also know that that ministry is a charitable-based ministry. They take donations year-round for that. Is that still correct?
That is correct. The only way that we are able to do what we do is just people sending in financial backing. And that's basically how we're able to do all of that, is just by people coming alongside and helping us. We do not draw any kind of a paycheck from the ministry, but enough funds come in that it pays for all of our expenses, transportation and food and motels.
RJ, go ahead. We're getting ready to go into a break, but do you have any last questions here for Tim Spillman?
I have a million questions.
But go ahead, RJ.
I look at gentlemen like Tony Stewart. Now, to me, Tony Stewart made a dramatic change in his life, and I want to say about 2004. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe a gentleman by the name of you might have made that difference in Tony. He seems like a different person, and I notice you still stay in touch with Tony. I just wondered if there was anything that God and you had in that situation.
Well, I can tell you this much. You got to remember, Tony Stewart, before he put his own team together, Tony Stewart drove for Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs is a very, very dynamic Christian man, good speaker. I mean, he's just dynamic all the way around. And also, Tony's mother is a very good Christian lady. Pam is a very good Christian lady. And I've always said that Tony knows what's right. Tony's got a very, very soft heart. A lot of people see the rough guy. Well, hey, he's someone that wants to win. And when he don't win, he gets frustrated. But I believe that Tony's definitely making some good strides. Has he made a total commitment to Christ? I don't know that. That's between him and his God. But he's definitely calmed down some, and I hope that it's God in his life that has caused this. So that's about all I could say on Tony's situation.
I tell you, we are going to take RJ, I'm going to stop you just for a second because we're going to take our final break. Tim, I hope you can stick around for just a few more minutes here as we're going to take it up to 6 o'clock. We are listening to Trackside Review Radio. Talk Radio will be back for our final segment right after this.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Trackside Review Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Brian Scott, Tom Marquis, Josh Elmore, Statman Steve Johnson, our distinguished Mr. Tim Spillman, and of course RJ Cunningham on the line of our fourth and final segment of Trackside Review Radio. Tim's been gracious enough to stay with us here. We're going to go around, and one of the things that we talked about, Anderson and Tim, you do a lot with the Silver Crown Series of Chaplin, but of course you've got to be a big, big race fan to sit here and come to all the races as well and get a big kick out of all that.
Oh, yeah. I've had a fortunate of being around racing in one way or another all of my life. My dad was a big race fan. And, yeah, I just love racing. Just love it.
So, RJ, you and Steve also got to... I believe, I don't know if you went. I know, Steve, you were at Anderson.
For a great race.
For the Little 500. Why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of what happened up there?
Wyndham won it. He made two laps to go. He passed. He made a pass for the win, and it was just awesome. It really was. It was one of the best Little 500s I've ever seen in my life.
So, Statman Steve, was that his first win, or how many times has he won the Little 500 now?
That's the first time.
RJ.
He's over in Pennsylvania now racing the sprints. The sprints running series over at USAC Sprints are in Pennsylvania this weekend.
Well, RJ, why don't you tell us what have we got to look forward to coming this weekend? Looks like we might have some pretty good weather for racing this weekend.
Well, okay, now here's what is going to go on tomorrow in RJ's camp. I'm going to move into my new house tomorrow. If anybody wants to cut grass tomorrow afternoon, they can do that. But I've got to get my grass cutting schedule on a Tuesday or a Monday so I can go to the race. Now, Saturday, I'm planning on going to a dirt late model race. And then Sunday, I'm going to go to Vermilion County Speedway in Illinois. But you've still got Paragon, Putnamville, Whitewater Valley Speedway, Anderson that's running, the Indianapolis Speedrome that's running. Victoria Raceway Park, the drag racing on Friday night.
which if I have enough time and I'm tired, I may take in some of that. I need some good drag racing shots for the website too. Now that we've become a drag racing capital, I've always loved drag racing, but I just don't have the knowledge of drag racing that I do. So that, I'm sure I'll tag along with somebody that wants to teach me. So, there's so much going on. I was so ashamed of myself for not going to the Little 500. I could have, but I decided to walk from the race, and I'm still upset about that. I walked, I could have drove, but I just, you know, I like taking in the ambiance of the race afterwards, too.
I tried to get you to go, I was trying to drive.
I know, but I was too tired. I told you I was tired. I was a whiny crybaby, and this is what part of it, you know. I guess I needed Mr. Spillman to help me get over being such.
We are sitting here talking with Tim Spillman, chaplain for USAC and Silver Crown Series. And, Tim, it is an honor to have you here with us. So, again, RG, I know you said you had a ton of questions, and we've only got about 9 minutes, and Josh is holding his finger up, too. So, well, I know we got a ton of questions. So go ahead, Josh, and then, RG, you can go back to Tim.
I just want to know who I'm going to go with to watch some midget racing this weekend. Is it going to be Statman and Steve Tim Spillman, or is it going to be with you, RG?
Well, It doesn't matter. I'm looking for somebody to help me move into the house. You know, it looks like I'm going to be moving all my stuff. My bed's already. No, I'm just kidding, guys. I'll get through it, and then I'm going to go racing Saturday and Sunday. But I want to go to dirt late model racing and modified racing because I don't want to leave everybody out to lunch. I mean, I want diversity with
Saturday
within
night.
I don't know yet. I haven't decided. I may go to Brownstown. I decided my gig at the last minute. You guys want to plan ahead, but I don't care. I go wherever the weather is not, you know.
Well,
if it's raining in southern Indiana, I'm going to go north. If it's raining west, I'm going to go east.
Hey, RJ, you guys got cell phones for that. What we do want to make sure is that we get the questions in for Tim Spillman. Now, you said you had a lot of questions for Tim, so we certainly want to get back to that conversation. So go ahead, RJ.
Tim, my question is, as many USAC events as I've been to, I've never seen anybody pass the hat for your ministry. A lot of times somebody will be injured in a fan, you know, or something like that. I don't see how you guys can get enough donations without letting people know that they can get the donations to you. The phone number is one thing, but we need to put you on the website, too, so that, you know, people can contact you directly, but you must have some people with some heavy pockets that are helping out you guys.
Well, we do have some individuals that have really stepped up to the plate. Some of them involved in automobile racing, some of them not. But there's also individuals that, you know, that just send us $20, $25 whenever they can. And every little bit helps. But God's truly blessed us. What we actually have, five chaplains. There's one in North Carolina that takes care of the Ford Focuses down there. We have a regional chaplain that covers the Speed Roam and the midget series that are regional that don't really travel. But then there's three of us chaplains. There's a midget chaplain, a sprint car chaplain, and a Silver Crown chaplain. And we do all the traveling. And it's just a... unbelievable how God opens the door and sends the finances at the right time. And so basically that's how it is. I just gave one of the announcers our actual card where if they want to let everyone know the actual address where they can stick to the P.O. box, I'd really appreciate if they'd do that. We do have a P.O. box, and we're also a nonprofit. We really appreciate everything, anything and everything that anybody can do for us.
Yeah, well, I definitely want the ministry on the website. It's part of racing, and it's something that should always be and be available. It's really a shame that there's not more of it. But, you know, we have a lot of racing on Sundays, and it's nice to, you know, have that hour of God, too. So, like I say, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you coming. I kind of wish I was there. But, you know, moving is very important. I got to get organized.
Well, it is it's a tremendous opportunity. Like, you know, we were just last weekend, we were at the fairground Friday night. We were at Raceway Park Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, I was there to assist the IRL chaplain. We had three chapels at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday morning. So we were pretty busy this past weekend.
Great. You can still have God in your life and enjoy racing. There's no doubt about it. You can still be a great person and enjoy racing and be a race driver. It's all the way you look at it and the way you want to be.
This we have been talking with Tim Spillman, Silver Crown Chaplain. Again, you can reach him via his cell phone at 317-435-1133. He also has an email address, tspillman, S-P-I-L-L-A-N, at ameritech.net. We will get his address and cell phone numbers. You can find that at tracksidereview.com. We'll make sure that we have all that information up to you, Tim. We really appreciate you stopping by. Thank you very much.
It was truly an honor, and hope we can do it more often.
All righty, Tim. Thank you. We're going to take a quick two-minute warning here, and we're going to pass this off to Josh real quick as we wrap up today's show of The Balance and Trackside Review.
All right, listen up, football fans. We have great news regarding the NFL for the first time in months. The federal mediator has left the building. He said there is no need for him to sit down and talk to the owners to play as the owners and the players and the NFL and the players association are sitting by table. And they are in the positive. A lot of national football is back to the season. Will we make it to the team game? There will be a hard look, but expect the lookout to be over before the month of June.
Well, that could be good news, and it's one of those things that I see the dotted line. We'll wait. I think it's a great news, and it's uplifting for all of the football fans. If they can get it done now, it pretty much will be business as normal as far as camps. We'll have a few things to do with free agents. Until I see that signature, I'm going to be a little scared.
Well, and I am too, but I'm just optimistic about the whole thing. Also tonight, the Dallas Mavericks, the Miami Heat, they are game two of the NBA Finals, and we had an opportunity to talk with
Surya Fernandez.
Yeah, that person. You know, me, RJ, I have a hard time getting other than the good boy names, but anyway.
And we want to make sure RJ gets a shot in here. He's got his race book and all sorts of other fun things. RJ, make sure you let everybody know about it.
Go ahead, RJ.
Okay, comment on my tweets. Did I get your name spelled right? Did I pronounce that name right? I had to do that. I tell you what, all we got to do is put a foreign name in front of you and you're totally lost.
I'm good.
You can't read it. You got to just listen to somebody else say it and then repeat it 100 times.
Hey, I finally got to be honest.
Hey, it's all right. Tom struggles with English half the time, too. So
that's right.
Hey, guys, it's a good show. I really look forward to the remainder of the year and getting to some races, and I think we're all going to have some fun. But also in the fall, I want to see some football. Some football. I will be a very upset man if I don't see some football.
RJ, make sure you let everybody know about RJ's Racebook.
RJsRacebook.com. It's up. Forget it. Guys, we got to go at it. We're getting there. We're getting there. It just takes time to build a Rome, and this time I don't want Rome to fall. We keep God in our lives, and I think it will be all right.
All right, Statman Steve, where are you going to be at this weekend?
Lincoln Wait, Park.
It helps if we turn on your mic.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Say that
it is on. I'm going to Lincoln Park.
You know, real quickly, I was out that way Memorial Day. My brother lives out way. I went past that way. My wife goes, "What's that? Is that one of those racetracks?" I was like, yeah, those one of the kind Steve goes to. That's exactly what I said. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us. We've been live down here at TGI Fridays at the JW Marriott Center. The Indians are playing tonight real quickly. The Indians are playing tonight.
Scranton-Wilkes-Barre tonight.
Okay, so come on down here to Victorfield. Enjoy the Indianapolis Indians. We will see you next Thursday right here on The Balance.
California, I say, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say, son of a b, didn't you? That's all, folks.